This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
An in-depth look at the COVID-19 situation in Douglas County and beyond this afternoon with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. First of all, Dr. Bob, talk about the county report from yesterday, a big number of cases reported in the past week.
My goodness, we have certainly seen an incredible increase in the number of cases. We hit over 200 yesterday, and there were 100 waiting for us this morning when we got to work. So we think the Omicron surge is starting here in Douglas County.
And for the week, we saw a lot of cases, but I noticed the level of hospitalization is up some, but proportionally not as much as you might expect.
That's right. So the number of hospitalizations is in the mid-20s at this point. But remember that hospitalizations don't start on the first day of diagnosis. Typically, they start on the 8th to 13th day after you're diagnosed. So what we're worried about is what we're going to see 8 to 13 days from now. So that's the big concern. There are predictions that the state will face a real hospital surge at the end of January.
And it's kind of interesting to watch this go around the world. We're seeing it in other parts of the U.S. with the surge right now. Hearing what you're saying there about the next 2 weeks seems a bit ominous.
It is a bit ominous. The good news is that Omicron is overall, we think, a little less serious than the Delta. But with the huge number of cases that they've seen in other areas, even if it's half as serious or quarter as serious, it still could overwhelm the hospital.
And how long do you think the surge will last?
Well, it's hard to predict, especially about the future. In other places, the surge is typically lasted 3 or 4 weeks. We think we started to see the beginning of the surge on January the 4th. So we think sometime at the end of January or the beginning of February, it should peak. Now, in South Africa, it peaked quickly and came down quickly. In other countries like in England and Denmark, it went up quickly, but has come down much more slowly. So we would expect to see the peak maybe at the end of January, beginning of February, and then another couple of weeks at least until it comes down a lot.
And as announced yesterday, statewide, members of the National Guard now being deployed out to hospitals. Understand Mercy is expecting to get a number. They're not sure exactly how many, but some could be there as early as early next week.
Well, I think this is an all-hands-on-deck phenomena, and the National Guard has been a great help, and the state has been a great help to Mercy in helping them with their staffing.
So what are your expectations after this surge? It sounds like it's a little hard to know whether this is going to come down slowly or more quickly.
I think it's going to come down slowly, probably more slowly than it went up. So, but I would think that by March or April, we might be able to see a lower number of cases. Unfortunately, there's no way to predict what's going to happen with new variants. Before the end of November, we didn't even know about Omicron. And so there may be other variants out there that are hiding that can come out. We don't know exactly where these variants come from. I think the best data suggests that this went from a human to a mouse population and then back from a mouse population to the human population. We know there are animal reservoirs for COVID among mice, deer, big cats, possums, and mink. So we are worried that we could see more and different variants.
Now, right now, Oregon Health Authority doing a daily clinic across the street from the library. Talk about that. What's being offered?
So that clinic is offering vaccines. They have all three different types of vaccines. They're offering first, second, and third doses to all ages that are eligible. And in addition, they can do testing. So that really is everything you need. They're open every day from 10 to 5. So they're going to be a great help to us during the surge. We are especially encouraging people who had previous disease to get at least one shot of an mRNA vaccine. We know that if you had one of the ancestral forms of the disease, you had good protection against alpha. If you had alpha, you had good protection against delta. If you had delta, you had good protection against another delta infection, maybe 85% or so. But this variant is so different that previous infection with any of those variants only gives you about 20% protection against Omicron. We know, though, if you have the disease and then get one shot of the booster, you can really increase that protection. So please, 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 if you've had a previous infection, get at least one shot of an mRNA vaccine.
And for people that are going to that between 10 and 5, 7 days a week, talk about what's needed in terms of insurance information or any of that.
Don't need any insurance information. They're not collecting any money. They're not. They don't require anything. The one thing we would ask people if they're getting a booster is bring their card. If you don't, it's not the end of the world. We can get you a new one. But if you bring your card with you, they can update your card. That's all you need.
Now, talk about the vaccination numbers in the county. How are those looking?
So the vaccination numbers in the county are improving. A little over 50% of our total population and a little bit of above 60% of our adult population are fully vaccinated. About 35% of our population is boosted. But that's still quite low, leaving a lot of people open for disease.
And are you seeing good response to this clinic by the library?
Yes, they've had steady business every day. Not overwhelming, but steady. And we're really encouraging people who've been saying, well, I'm going to get around to it. Today's the day to get around to it. They'll be there today until 5 o'clock and then every day from 10 until 5.
And I know in comparison to a lot of the pharmacies and regular locations that are doing appointments, those right now tend to be backed up a few weeks versus the availability of getting it today at this clinic.
Right. So it's the same vaccine you'll get at the if you go to the pharmacy or if you go to this booster clinic. The people given in the booster clinic are incredibly skilled, and they have no backlog. So the pharmacists have other stuff to do. They have to fill prescriptions and do other kinds of vaccines. This booster clinic is here solely to do COVID, and there's no wait and no charge.
Now, how is the county looking compared to other areas of the state when it comes to vaccinations? I know that's been a concern of yours as we go along here.
Well, we're not at the bottom, but we're certainly not at the top. We're sort of similar to other counties to the south and east of us. Lane County and other areas are doing better with vaccines and boosters, and we think they'll have less hospitalizations. Now, we know that people who are vaccinated, even people who are vaccinated and boosted, can still get the disease. But when they get the disease, it tends to be really quite mild.
And nationally, where are we seeing the spikes in COVID-19 right now?
Everywhere. So it started off being in the big cities. And so we started seeing big spikes in New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C., and Miami. It looks like New York and Washington, D.C. may have already peaked. It may be that Miami is starting to peak now. But as a more rural area, we would expect to get this later and peak a little later.
And what are we seeing when we look at COVID-19 and its impact in other nations around the world?
Oh, it's really awful now spreading around the world. So pretty much all of Europe is really having a hard time with COVID. South America, which had been pretty quiet for a while. Now, you remember South America being in the southern hemisphere in the midst of their summer, and they thought they would have a very quiet summer, but they're seeing a lot of disease starting in Argentina and now spreading through the rest of South America. And Africa, which has been relatively quiet during this whole pandemic, is seeing a lot of disease. In addition, Australia, which previously had lots of restrictions, had very low rates of disease until just recently, and now they're seeing a very high rate of disease. The good news is places like Japan, South Korea, New Zealand are having very low case rates, and that's a good thing. We're worried about India. India's got a lot of people, and they're starting to see a real heating up in their number of cases.
I understand there was some question as to how Japan was able to get to the point they are now. A lot of people were surprised with how well they're doing.
Well, Japan is very interesting. I lived in Japan for a few years when I was in the military, and they follow rules. So when they're asked to mask and stay home and not go to work when they're sick, they really, really follow the public health rules. And we think it's a combination of lots of vaccine and following the public health rules that allowed them to tamp down this disease. They've done a very nice job of this. You remember after the Olympics, they had a little bit of a surge, and the worry was that it was going to really go wild, but it really hasn't happened.
All right, back with more. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. When we come back on Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast, after 1 at 541radio.com. Back in a moment, Inside Douglas County, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, News Radio 1240 KQEN. Shannon Sebastian will have your cue this afternoon, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Inside Douglas County tomorrow, Douglas County Commissioner Tom Kress will take a look at the year-end review in the beginning of the new year for how Douglas County is doing. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us now, going in-depth on COVID-19-related topics. Why did you spend some time, because there's been a lot of discussion about this in the last couple of days, and talk about masks. Now, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is at least considering some changes, we understand, to mask guidance. Can you talk about that more, and also tell us more about the difference between the more common cloth masks and the N95s and K95s?
So it's a little complicated, but you remember from the very beginning, we've talked about this as like public health being the weatherman. And so if I told you we were going to have the worst snowstorm ever, you would not pick out a flimsy jacket, but probably your best jacket, gloves, and a hat. And similarly with masks, they vary from very protective, including the N95 masks, down to very unprotective, but we've all seen people wear those mesh masks where you can still see your lips, not very protective. And so what happens is we're going to be going through really bad COVID weather. We're going to be going through a time when there's a lot of COVID out there. There's going to be a lot of exposure. And so what we're recommending people to do is to wear the best mask they can. Well, the best mask is the best mask that you can find and comfortably wear. N95 masks are very high quality. They're made especially to have very little air leakage, and they work well. KN95s also work well. That's what I wear. Surgical masks are the next step down, and then the lowest step are a single cloth mask. Now, you can improve the efficiency of masks by doubling up using a surgical mask and a cloth mask, or by increasing to a KN95 or an N95 or an N95 mask. And those are great. Again, you know, using the weather analogy, if I said we're going to have the worst snowstorm ever and you went out in flip-flops and shorts, that wouldn't be very protective. And similarly now, during this high time, we would recommend everybody use the best mask they can find.
How easy is it to obtain a KN95 or an N95?
Well, they're at stores. I think most of the medical clinics have them and are handing them out to people. And so you can almost always get at least a surgical mask. And with a surgical mask plus a cloth mask, it almost rises to the level of a KN95.
Now, do you think the Centers for Disease Control will go ahead and change their mask guidance?
I tell you, it's almost impossible to predict what CDC is going to do with these days.
And as we go through this Omicron time, what have you heard? What's being learned about Omicron?
So Omicron is different. It's got many different mutations than the previous variants, suggesting that these came from some unusual place, and now it's thought probably a mouse reservoir. It does seem to be more contagious, but seems to attack less in the lungs. So when we look at places that have seen a lot of the disease, they have a lot of people in the hospital, but they have fewer people on ventilators, and that's a good sign. So it does seem to attack the lungs less. It also does other things less. The loss of sense of smell and taste, which was quite prominent with Delta, we do not see with Omicron.
Now, you talked about the potential for other variants. Are there any out there that are of concern already?
Well, we're always looking at them. There's one from Cameroon, but that does not seem to be at all spreading. So right now, it's pretty much all Omicron all the time. For example, in Oregon, 100% of the samples checked last week were all Omicron.
Wow. And just to think, a few weeks ago, Omicron was something brand new.
Yeah, so Omicron was first noted around Thanksgiving. So for it to spread that quickly is really breathtaking.
And as we go through this time, in terms of people dealing with the next few weeks, there's a lot of concerns out there. What about things people should be doing, not doing? Talk about that.
So we would, you know, this is time to avoid big gatherings. If you're in a big gathering, you're very likely to get it. We would recommend that if people indoors, that they wear the highest quality mask that they could find. The one change in recommendation is if you think you have the disease, you don't need to go out and get a test. If you have a home test, go ahead and use it. But you don't need to go out and find a test, because if you're sick with COVID-like symptoms in the next few weeks, you almost certainly have COVID. And really what we're recommending for those people is just stay home. Stay home. Keep yourself well. If you get really sick with troubles breathing, troubles eating, troubles walking, then you really should call either a hotline or your medical provider. But for most people, they're going to be mildly ill. 5 or 6 days, they're going to be feeling better. And after 5 days, when your temperature's down, when you're feeling markedly better, you can go back out into the world.
With the number of cases going up, how does that impact your staff there with the Douglas Public Health Network?
So it's a little change in what we did. So previously, we were able to reach out to every case and all the contacts. But if we have the number of cases they're having, for example, in Deschutes County, there's going to be no way we're going to be able to do that. And so what we're asking for people to do is, if they have questions, certainly call us. We're going to reach the highest risk people, but relatively low risk people, we're going to let them manage this on their own. You know, early on, we wanted to get all the cases, because we were able to find small outbreaks and stop them. Now there are so many outbreaks that there's no way we could address every one of them, and we're just basically setting containment rings rather than going in and fighting each fire.
So at different points along the way in the pandemic, there were different large events or things that contributed. Are you seeing these cases now really coming from pretty much everywhere?
Yes. So the cases are everywhere in the county, pretty much everywhere in the state, and they're coming from businesses, households. The hospital has a bunch of cases. All of the clinics have a bunch of cases because the disease is that widespread.
And let's talk about the numbers again around Douglas County, because the idea of having 200 yesterday, that's the first time we'd hit that since around August, right?
Right. So this is, we had a big surge in August and early September. This is the highest number we've had since then. And we think, looking at the rest of the state and the way they've increased, that we could easily get to 400 or 500 cases a day by the end of the month.
So that sounds so daunting. And even the idea of even trying to keep up with it probably goes back to what you said a moment ago about folks really hunkering down and depending on their level of symptoms, really being proactive about taking care of themselves.
Right. So we're hoping that most people, we think with Omicron, between 75 and 90% of the people who have it will only have mild symptoms and really need nothing else other than a few days on the couch. But for those people who are sicker, troubles breathing, troubles eating, troubles walking, they do need to call their doctor. And we want to leave the medical resources available for those people who are more seriously ill.
And remind folks about the clinic over by the library.
So the best way to protect, the very best way to protect yourself is to be vaccinated and boosted. But any additional vaccine helps. So for people who are not yet vaccinated, please get your first shot. For people who have gotten their initial series and need a booster, get a booster. And if you've had the disease, especially those people, should get one dose of an mRNA vaccine, and that will really decrease their risk of getting seriously ill or hospitalized.
And if people want to find out more information, how do they connect with Douglas Public Health Network?
So we have our hotline going. We've been there since early March of 2020. So almost 20 months now, they've been there every day at 541-464-6550.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
12:56 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.